Well, everybody, this is the Monday Night Pod. Tyler Fenske. We're going to be continuing our study in Psalm 56 tonight, really focusing tonight on verse 9. It says, "Then my enemies will turn back when I call for help. By this I will know that God is for me."
So if you were with us last week, we talked about just prayers answered in the prior verse. They're going through verse 8, and now that verse 9 gives you just some of the results of that answered prayer. "By this I will know that God is for me." We talked about enemies tonight. We talked about just three aspects of that, because it says, "Then my enemies will turn back when I call for help. By this I will know that God is for me." So it's a sign to you that God is for you is that your enemies are turning back. Because it says, "By this I will know that God is for me." And then we built upon that as well tonight with talking about that it's not just a sign to you that God is for you, but also from Philippians chapter 1, where it says in Philippians 1, verse 27 and 28, it says, "I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God." Mm-hmm. So without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you, and it says it's a sign to them that they will be destroyed. So it should act as a conviction then for people. That's one of the aspects of enemies. It's not just a sign to you that God is for you when they turn back. It should be a sign to them, as you see here in Philippians, where it's getting their attention that because they've come against you and you have not been frightened in any way by those who oppose you, that is letting them know that they're on the wrong track. Because they can see that God is for you. Mm-hmm. And they can see that power of God in your life that's not present in their life.
Yeah, it almost works as a testimony, mm-hmm. right? And just the act and the power of God in your life to where he's doing something in your life.
Yes.
And through that, they could see this is God and mm-hmm. God is with him. It reminds me of like everything that Moses went through with Pharaoh. It's like people think that you can go through life without enemies, or like, especially in like the Christian church, it's like, it turns into like a weird dogma, I think, to where there's like one extreme or the other, right? One extreme where it's like, oh, I have enemies all around me. And then the other extreme, like, oh, if you believe in Jesus, this is a part of life you get to be exempt from. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, the Lord has a will and a path through that. And a lot of times it's through your enemies that he confirms things. A lot of times it's to your enemies that he'll show his power in your life too, right? So it's an important thing to realize that the Lord uses enemies for your own good, and also, like we talked about, to have a testimony with that.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about that as the second point of just that backdrop of the enemies are inevitable. Mm-hmm. Like you're referencing there. I mean, that could be something as simple as understanding, you know, there's almost 8 billion people on planet Earth. Your personality is not going to mesh with everybody. Mm-hmm. So start right there. We talked about just biblical examples of that, right, where Moses was opposed by his ministry partners, Miriam and Aaron, his brother and sister. We talked about that with the enemies that Jesus had from the Pharisees and teachers of the law, who ultimately murdered him, to also his own disciples, John 6, where they grumbled against him, and at that time many left him, to then his own family, like you see in Mark, where it's, you know, they're saying he's out of his mind. So Jesus had it from many directions. Joseph, his own brothers, David, you know, like we've been covering, everything from his brother Eliab, who's attacking David's gift, to the Ziphites, where you have the dynamic of, you know, anytime you get an organizational structure, yeah. Here's the boss, here's the coach, here's the you will have people that see that as their path to essentially suck up to the boss, is to try to put down other people in the organization, mm-hmm. right? That's what David had with the Ziphites, right? Who were constantly giving out his location to Saul to try to, you know, kiss up to Saul, right? And then obviously Saul himself, which, as we talked about tonight, that was, it was all sparked by his jealousy of David. Yeah. So just your own giftings and talents, right? Your success at any level, you know, creates an opportunity for envy. And the only way to avoid that is to stay down. So the only way you're going to exempt yourself from that is to tamp down your own gifts and talents that God has given you for a reason. So right there, you're going to get enemies just off of, people are going to have envy just off of your success in any level because of the gifting that, that God has given you.
Yeah.
You know, talk about that.
You know, something that, an example from my life that I thought of tonight and just right now, you know, as you're going through that, you're talking about giftings. There's one summer back when I was in college where I played baseball in California. Mm-hmm. And the team was affiliated with FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And so that would come with, you know, before every game, we would have a Bible study and, you know, a lot of faith-based activities that we would do together. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a good ministry. You know, made an impact in a lot of guys' lives. But another part of that was after each home game, a person from our team, a member of our team, would either be chosen or volunteer to share their testimony with the other team we played or everybody in attendance. And so it came to my turn. And, you know, I'm given a mic. You know, we just played a game. I share with everybody. And the gist of what I said was, you know, hey, I'm Tyler. You know, this is how I was brought up. This is how I came to know the Lord. This is what he's done for me. Jesus loves you. In so many words, that's just what I said. And for one reason or another, how I delivered it, I don't know what it was about my delivery, but for some reason, it really made an impact and people were just blown away. Like the whole aura, the whole field, everybody, my teammates, my coaches, they were just blown away. Like, whoa, like, wow. You know, giving me compliments one after another. One of my teammates who earlier in the season professed, hey, my calling is to be a pastor. I'm going to be a pastor. I already know this.
Okay.
In my head, I'm like, geez, you know, every person that I've ever heard have that calling is very weary of it. You know, like that's a bold thing to, you know, just declare that, you know, and be certain about it. But I never said anything. His reaction to that was hostile, negative, started slandering me. And I think it was because he wants to have this role and he wants to have the attention and the response that I was getting naturally just through whatever gift I was able to deliver on that day, right? Nothing I intentionally tried to do, nothing. But his response to that was envy. It was, I'm going to, you know, crabs in a bucket. You know, I'm going to try and tear Tyler down and start spreading lies about him and, oh, we went out and just lies, you know? And and that was a big introduction to me to, like, you know, even someone who's saying they want to be a pastor, like, that's just real world, you know? People aren't all going to appreciate you. It might say more about them than it does about you, but we're not exempt. Yeah. You know, if Jesus Christ wasn't exempt, you know, like you said from John 15, like you referenced earlier tonight, that we're not exempt either. And it just comes with the territory. You can either walk in your gifting or you can try to please men.
People carry around big egos.
Yeah.
And it takes a high level of maturity to be able to reach a level of maturity where that's not kind of dominating your thinking. Because anytime you feel like you're good at something or you feel like, you know, you have ability there, it can often sting your ego when somebody else is successful with that. You know, it's a real thing, envy.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have a hard time overcoming that, you know, and that can, you know, be a toxic thing in an organization where you got people that then the envy is, they're trying to, you know, slander is the coward's revenge. Right. So that's usually how people respond. It's how you're describing how that kid responded then. Right. I'm going to try to, you know, say bad things about him, talk behind his back, you know, or they'll get somebody else to attack you. Right.
For sure.
Throwing the rocks and hiding their hands. Right. You know, and that's how people operate. You mentioned John 15. We read through that tonight. That's John 15:18. If the world hates you, Jesus speaking, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. So there's a lot to think about there, because starting with, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I've chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. So if you are blending in, that's not a good sign. If you're thinking how everybody else is thinking, if you're in agreement with the kind of majority thinking out there, if you're acting like everybody else, these are all bad signs, because that means you're blending in with the world and you're not supposed to blend into the world. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. We talked about how the American church has become so watered down and inoffensive, nobody even cares what it says. Mm-hmm. It's almost its own separate society. It's almost an adjunct society, because it's so far removed from any position of actual authority here on earth. Now, I said tonight what I do believe on that. I think that what you're getting out of that is simply the prophecy of Daniel 12. That's coming to fruition.
Yeah.
Right. So, but irregardless of what is happening in the church itself, you as an individual, you should be blending in. And that means enemies.
Yeah.
If you're thinking differently than people, if you're acting differently than people, it's going to cause conflict. So you got a lot of different things that tell you that it is inevitable that you're going to have enemies. You're thinking differently. You're acting differently. Just your own gifts and talents, just, differences in personality. I mean, we've covered a lot here, but it all bears in mind, because a lot of people get to they think that their ministry is to manage other people's feelings and emotions. That's what you were referencing just before, right? Where they think that that's like something, that they're called to, where they're going to try to make everybody happy with them. They're going to try to manage everybody's feelings and emotions. You're not called to do that.
Mm-hmm.
With the other end of the spectrum, meaning that's not a license to be a jerk, as we know from Romans, this would be Romans 12:18, where it tells you, this is a good verse to keep in mind, because it tells you in 12:18, it says, if it is possible, so it's not always possible, as far as it depends on you, so it doesn't always depend on you. A kid said that tonight. He's like, yeah, there's people that hate me, I don't hate them. It's a good place to be in. Right? But as long as it depends on you, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And we talked about that tonight, that if you have you have the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, that should be you're not called to walk through the earth being a jerk or, being a mean person and trampling on other people. Far from that, because if you are manifesting the fruits of the Spirit, you should do well getting along with people. Understand, you're going to have enemies, you're going to have conflict, but you should do well getting along with other people if you're manifesting the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a good place to be, because it also doesn't create unneeded enemies.
Right.
Because if you're just walking around acting like a jerk, you're just bringing a whole bunch of trouble.
Right.
Yeah.
You get no credit for that. That's just you being a jerk, not like, oh, this is causing conflict because of, me being a believer.
Yeah. Right. I think people get in the wrong mindset of like, yeah, enemies, bro. And it's like, let's be mature. Like we just referenced in John, Jesus set you apart. Like what an honor. Right? He set you apart to know him, to be different, to be outside of the world, but still in it. He has a mission for you. He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. The fact that you have enemies, if you get to that point, is kind of like a graduation, like you're walking, like finally you're getting to a certain level. You're starting to do something.
Right. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep the focus.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about men. Right. Show the fruits of the Spirit. walk in integrity. And if you can do that, you won't feel the pressure to manage people or manage emotions.
Yeah, and don't back off your gifts and talents too.
Exactly.
If you're listening to this, do not back off your gifts and talents, because you can be in toxic places with small people that will get very envious of your gifts and talents, that jealousy, just like Saul experienced with David.
Yep.
That led him to try to then murder David. It took him that far with just that jealousy.
Yeah.
So don't back off that, because I've seen that. I've dealt with that myself. I'm going to try to make people happy, and I don't want to offend everybody. Everybody seems, this person's upset at me, so I'm just going to kind of, tamp down my gifts a little bit, right? And kind of back off that and just be quiet. Don't do that.
It's just a season. It's right. Just a season. One of the great points you made tonight is just, if you look at great men, especially great men of the Bible, there's ups and downs. And all of a sudden, once, like we talked about before, the Lord worked it all out for them. He developed them through certain things, but he also developed a situation through mm-hmm. certain things. And once mm-hmm. it all aligns, the ups and downs all of a sudden just lead to a parabolic mm-hmm. rise. Parabolic. Just inverted. Mm-hmm. Just shot to the moon, right? It's just for a season. We're going to get to that with the third point, but it's like, if you can just stay faithful, no matter what the chatter is, no matter what's going on around you.
And you have to have those gifts and talents have been placed in you for a purpose. They need to be developed, not pushed down, because you're going to need them for where God is taking you.
To the fullest.
So yeah, don't let men push you off them.
Yeah, we don't fear men.
Right.
In other words, keep your focus on the Lord. You only answer to the Lord. Does mm-hmm. that mean you develop the immature aspect towards people to where you're, screw you? No.
Right.
Treat others the way you want to be treated. Display the fruits of the Spirit. That way you're in integrity and you can just pray about it and know that it's in God's hands and know that you're on your way no matter what. That's the opportunity that you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the second point. So first one, sign to you, a sign to them. Second point, enemies are inevitable. And the last one is we just talked about the deliverance that, where God will use enemies as an opportunity for him to just demonstrate his power in your life. And we went back to 2 Kings, where we were working through last week of just the story through Hezekiah. And where we left off last week, we left off where, God granted him the extra 15 years, right? So he answered that prayer. And gave him another 15 years. And verse 6, and I will deliver you in this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my sake and for the sake of my servant David. And this was the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. So they broke off that campaign. Remember, they had taken the northern part of Israel and they had campaigned against, they had sacked other cities in southern Israel, and they come as far as Jerusalem, and the Lord himself went out there and did that and just displayed his power, demonstrating his power, exactly where we started tonight with the verse in 56 of Psalm 56, saying then my enemies will turn back, right? And as a sign to them, so that deliverance. And as I said tonight, can you stand up under attack, right? Can you stand firm, like it says in Ephesians 6, like it says in Exodus 14? Standing up under attack is not you lashing back. It's not you slandering them. It's not you trying to politic. It's you standing firm and seeing the deliverance of God, right? Exodus 14, Moses answered the people. So they said to Moses, didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. So this just fear overtaking them, mm-hmm. right? Where they're literally, they're just breaking free of this bondage and already they want to give up and go back. And Moses answered the people, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still.
Mm.
You need only to be still. So the word is to not take the path of the world when it comes to enemies, where you're trying to lash back, trying to talk bad, you're trying to politic, taking the coward's revenge of slander. But rather, the Lord says, revenge is mine, says the Lord. So that's his jurisdiction. It's not up to you. If you are taking the path of slander and politics, that's as far as it's going to go. You've taken it into your own hands. That's as far as it's going to go. That's all it's going to get accomplished. Rather, that if you are turning this over to the Lord, now you can see the hand of God work in your life, deliverance of God work for you.
Yeah. Just thinking about this practically, it's like, if you want to take the immature route, the worldly route, how much of a distraction is that from what your purpose actually is?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes away from your effort, your energy, what you should be doing, the time, resources, energy you do have. It's like, if you could, like, okay, I trust the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm going to keep stacking the bricks that I'm supposed to stack. We had a lot of the kids here are athletes on teams right now. It's like, okay, what if the season's going bad? What if I have teammates that do that? It's like you stack the bricks that you're supposed to stack, and then you trust the Lord with the rest, because if you dumb down to that level, it takes away from you.
Right.
Right?
And yeah, so, Churchill had a great quote with that. He said, you will never reach your destination stopping to throw stones at every dog that barks.
Good luck, buddy.
Yeah. You know?
Especially if you got a lot going on, there's going to be a lot of dogs barking.
Right.
Right? And you, I think that's a lesson that you learn along the way. But to trust the Lord enough to say, hey, you know, this is out of my hands. I can only do so much. And to see his power and to see him come through is especially the way we saw Hezekiah do it. You hit this on the head tonight, just talking the fact he was on his deathbed. Mm-hmm. And it was a word from the Lord that he was going to die.
Right.
Doesn't get more sure than that. You know, the Lord said. But for him to have the attitude that he had, despite his circumstances, so much of the faith is just in spite of your circumstances, what is your decision going to be? The decision just to call out to the Lord.
Yeah.
To be humble and say, Lord, this is on you. This is in your hands. And to see that kind of powerful deliverance, that's an encouraging word for me to say, hey, focus on what you're supposed to be focusing on. Walk in integrity. Display the fruits of the Spirit. Hey, there are going to be enemies along the way. That's confirmation. You know, not only for me, but for them. It'll show the power of the Lord in your life. And once you, like you said tonight, once you have that and you know you have that, it's literally whatever you want to do.
Yeah, you mentioned before that it's almost a, you know, almost a sign you're on the right path. It always stuck out to me in Psalm 23. So if you go from 56 and you just flip back a few chapters, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So you prepare a table before me. It's, you know, you talked about the up, the down, the up, down, and then, you know, parabolic, right? Where it's, you know, you've been settled into this position that the Lord has given you. You prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So if you don't have enemies, it's like you're missing part of the equation where they should be getting a front row seat now to your success. And everything that they said against you, they got to just choke on now and see your success, which, as we know from Philippians, is a sign to them, because you did not back down. You were not terrified of them, but you stood firm, and that becomes a sign to them, convicting them, then of them seeing God behind you, bringing it to fruition, where now they're having to see that table prepared before you. You know, so, and that ties in directly with, you know, what our last point was of just that, you know, being able to see God demonstrate his power in your life, right? No different than the Israelites saw then the Lord destroy the Egyptians. And it said then, you know, even though they had, you know, they had seen these wonders in Egypt, once this happened where this final moment here where the Egyptians are drowned in the Red Sea, It says in verse 30, that day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses' servant. So you see that importance of just enemies there, because it's, you know, God is able to then just display his power in your life in a very strong, powerful way, right? Where you can see how God delivered you out of these circumstances and brought you into a new thing. And it's a testimony in your life, yeah. Right? But there's no testimony without the test, right? So the prayer is not necessarily that God would just remove this mountain in your life, but that God would give you the strength to climb it, yep. Right? And that strength, to reiterate that, is not you politicking. Is not you talking bad about them. It's not slandering them to others. It's just standing firm and seeing the power of God. And when you see that, then you know that it is right back to where we started in Psalm 56. By this, I will know that God is for me.
Yeah.
Right?
Don't wish it was easier. Wish you were better. Mm-hmm. You know, again, not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to jive with you. That's okay. Keep pushing. Stay faithful. Stand firm. You know, give the rest to the Lord. Let him show his power in your life. And, you know, may God arise. So that's Psalm 56, verse 9, the topic of enemies. Again, this is the Monday Night Pod. Tyler and Fenske.